I can't honestly remember the first book in which I encountered the term trailblazer. I grew up in Gladeville, Tennessee, and we didn't have a public library as such. Instead, we had a post office with one bookshelf. And twice a month, the bookmobile came through town and delivered books. After a while, they learned that I was one of the two people who read books in Gladeville. And the woman who ran the bookmobile would always make sure I knew she was coming, and she would invite me in and let me select the books which would be left in Gladeville, which meant they were heavy on science fiction, but that's a different story. Reading some of those books somewhere along the way, fairly early in childhood, I encountered the term trailblazer. And once I encountered it, I began to see it in many, many other things that I read. I saw it in the tales of a young adult George Washington, who blazed the trail from Virginia to the Ohio Valley. Now, of course, he was doing it hoping to make money down the pike, but he blazed that trail over which so many people migrated from Virginia into Ohio. Trailblazer. He went ahead of everyone else, marked the trail, walked the trail, knew the trail. I saw it in the more familiar tales of Daniel Boone as he blazed a trail over our mountains right here into the territory of Kentucky. He went ahead, he marked a trail, he blazed a trail, he walked it, he knew it, he prepared a way for others to follow. I saw it in the complicated and very long story of Albert Einstein, who blazed a very different kind of trail, a trail of intellectual inquiry, a way of trying to understand the universe, a way that scientists are still trying to walk a century later. I saw it in the story of Clarence Jordan, who blazed a trail toward racial integration and racial reconciliation by founding and growing Koinonia Farms in Georgia, long before most people in Georgia, or anywhere else for that matter, really thought that racial reconciliation and meaningful integration was even possible. Trailblazers. They are folk who go ahead of the rest of us to find, open, and mark a trail that we may then follow to places we've not yet been. Well, as Josh alluded to in the earlier video, I've been thinking about Jesus. And the more I have thought about Jesus, the more I've come to recognize that it's very fair to say he was the greatest trailblazer of all time. According to Scripture and in the view of church thinker after church thinker down through the centuries, it is true to say Jesus has already been anywhere and everywhere he asked us to go. Trailblazer. Christ has already been anywhere and everywhere he asked us to go. Start with his baptism. Now, that's a puzzler, that story. People don't like it. The gospel writers seem to have fault, including it. Mark says he got baptized, moves on very quickly, etc., etc. Luke tries to move on quickly to the temptations, and Matthew just doesn't like it at all, but he has to record it. They're not sure what to do with this idea that Jesus was baptized. Why would Jesus feel the need to be baptized? He's got nothing, insofar as we know, of which he needs to repent. He is the Son of God, after all. Why would he go down to the River Jordan and insist that John baptize him? Well, no doubt there were multiple reasons, but here's one relevant to the morning. Jesus is blazing a trail for us to follow. He is blazing a trail for us to follow. The Son of God voluntarily goes ahead of us to where he calls us to go. Now, you know the story of Jesus. He's going to spend his entire earthly ministry calling people to place their lives in the hands of God. He's going to spend his earthly ministry calling people to go wherever God calls them to go. He's going to spend his earthly ministry calling people to trust God enough to love others as God loves people. Baptism In the movement that ultimately became Christianity, baptism will become the way by which people declare they will take up such a life. Now, if we take baptism seriously, that's frightening, isn't it? We are declaring that we will take up the kind of life Jesus lived and Jesus taught. That ought to scare us. Because that kind of life, well, frankly, it's potentially dangerous. It's more than a little bit mysterious. It probably is going to cost each of us, if pursued seriously, more than we care to pay. Through his baptism, Jesus says to us, I've already been there. I've already been there. I've opened the trail. I've traveled it. I can take you into it, along it, and through it. And in my mind, Jesus reaches out his hand to take ours and says to us, come with me. Come with me. I'll walk this trail with you. I know the way through. Trailblazer. Jesus is the trailblazer. No matter where following God may take us, we'll find he's already been there. And he will walk the trail he has blazed with us if only we will allow him to do so. So let's play with some trails. Are you, perchance, I'm sure none of you are, I look out there and I see all your innocent faces, but are you, perchance, dealing with temptations of various kinds? And are you finding it to be hard going? Are you wrestling with temptations of various kinds, and are you finding it to be hard going? And if you are, perhaps you're starting to feel as if you're all alone. Maybe you're starting to feel as if no one else knows what it's like to face and deal with it. Well, guess what? Jesus has been there. Jesus has been there. He knows the ground of temptation well. He understands the allure of each temptation we face. And it's in that context that he reaches his hand out to ours and says to us, come with me. I'll walk this trail with you. I know the way through. Well, how about this one? Maybe you're one of us who's wrestling with what I call the church question. I mean, I think you know what I mean. When we look at the church with open eyes, locally or worldwide, we see so many downsides, don't we? By the way, if you think we preachers don't see them, you just don't know preachers. We see so many downsides when we look at the church locally or worldwide. And when we see those downsides, we sometimes find it hard to imagine that we can stand being parts of such a community, or that we might possibly benefit from being part of such a community, or that such a community can do anything good in the world. We really start to wrestle with the church question. I think we even start to understand why some say the church is more of a problem than a help, don't we? Well, guess what? Jesus has been there. Go read the Gospels. He calls and leads, teaches, and suffers over a group of first-generation Christ followers who individually and collectively fail repeatedly to catch or live out his vision. I mean, you couldn't put together a cast of characters like the early disciples if you tried. In some ways, they remind me of an old comedy skit. Over and over again, they're so close to seeing where they need to go and what they do, and they find some way to mess it up, don't they? Jesus is living with those folk. Jesus is calling out those folk. Jesus is staying with those folk. Jesus is trying to help them see and take hold of his vision. Somehow, in spite of how they really are, He manages to stay with them. He manages to actually love them. He manages to work alongside them, and he manages to mold them into a community that sometimes rises to the challenge of being the genuine presence of Christ in the world. Jesus knows the church well. And when you and I are wrestling with the whole idea of church, he reaches his hand out to ours and he says to us, come with me. Come with me. I'll walk this trail with you. I know the way through. Well, another one. Perhaps you're struggling with the impulse to hate and take revenge on another human or in possibly an entire people group. And don't tell me we don't wrestle with that. Just don't even bother to tell me we don't. So maybe today you're the one who's wrestling with that temptation to hate or take revenge on another person or a family or an entire people group. And there's this little bitty piece of you, this little bitty quiet voice in the back of your mind that remembers and reminds you that a Christian is called to forgive and do good even unto their enemies, but right now, you just can't imagine how you possibly could do so. Well, guess what? Jesus has been there. His own people turned on him and demanded his death. Roman oppressors carried out the sentence with their typical brutality. The very disciples who only a handful of hours beforehand had pledged their very lives to him deserted him. If anyone in all of human history has had just cause to hate and seek revenge, it was Jesus. Yet he chose, underline the verb, he chose the opposite. And he spoke those words from the cross that we love to hear but dread having to implement. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus knows well the kind of feelings we experience when we're hurt and when we've lost. And in that context, he reaches out his hand to ours and says to us, come with me. I'll walk this trail with you. I know the way through. All of us face sharp curves in the road of life, curves around which we simply cannot see. They're sharp, and we just can't see around them. Now, there might be a sign at that curve naming the destination, but we can't see the length or the condition of the next stretch of road. Ever been there? Maybe you're there right now. And I'm here to tell you, not knowing what it's going to be like after we take such a curve is scary at best, paralyzing at worst. But the truth of the matter is, over the course of any human life, we all come to such curves. Sharp curves around which you just can't see. Now, I suppose the curve featuring the sign that reads something like this, death ahead, is the most intimidating. It's intimidating because none of us have died before. It's intimidating because no matter how hard we try, we can't imagine ourselves actually being really and truly gone. Well, guess what? Jesus has been there. If you read the Gospels, you find that he wrestled with his own fear of death. He wrestled with his fear of dying. He ultimately placed himself once again in the hands of God. And he died. In God's time, he rose to new life. But what this means is this. He knows our questions about death. He knows our fears about death. And he knows what it's like to die. And it's out of that context, out of that trailblazing aspect of his own life, that Jesus reaches out his hand to us and says, come with me. I'll walk this trail with you. I know the way through. Do we get it? This happens again and again in the life of the Christian. Whatever we face, wherever we go, we find Jesus has been there before us, and that Jesus knows the way through. So the question you and I have to face time and time again goes something like this. Will we choose to trust and follow the trailblazer? Will we take the hand he offers? Will we walk the trail we have to walk at any given time in our lives with the one who's already walked it? Do so. Because when we strip away all the extras, that's actually what it means to be a Christian. Pray with me. Oh God, we try to complicate our life with Christ. We complicate it sometimes by forgetting that he's alive and real and present. Help us this morning to commit or to recommit to reaching out for that hand he offers us, to walking with him on the trails of life, and to asking him to show us the way through. These things we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. I invite you to follow such a Christ. This is how he is. Living Lord, living friend, living trailblazer who comes to walk the trail with each of us and all of us. We're going to sing a hymn in just a moment. You'll be asked to stand. As you sing that hymn, maybe, perhaps, this is the day God is leading you to say, I want to be baptized. I want to start this life with Christ. Or I want to become an official part of this church body and walk with you into the life of Christ. There may be other decisions you need to make. If so, you probably know what they are. Use this time to make them. Let's stand. Let's sing.